All right, Token Smart Podcast, episode 16. Extra excited for this one. This is another special episode. And I'll sort of set the stage for a little bit because I was trying to rack my brain. I had the Jim and Sparrow interview, special interview, which was fire, and had Whale Shark on, which was another awesome interview. And then sort of got to thinking to myself, I'm like, you know, where do I go from here? I've set the bar pretty high for myself with these special interviews. And so I was talking to Jim and running this idea by him, and you know, he sent me some names from some big names he knows from big projects and everything. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't really know these people, and I'm like only moderately interested in their projects and everything. So I'm like, you know, who would be most interesting for me personally to interview right now? Cause I feel like I gotta buy into this if it's gonna go well or anything. And I sort of slept on it and realized the answer has been sitting in front of my face this entire time. And it's easy, man. And I'm so happy to be sitting here with him today because I feel like Easy and I got sort of like the same. We come from like the similar type of place, man. This dude's just like a hustler and he's been in the scene for a long time. And I sort of pride myself as being like everywhere and like sort of having my hand in the mix of all the things. But I'm like a back of the classroom type of guy, like taking notes, and Easy is not, man. Everything I show up to, he's got questions and he's like right in the front of the class with the presenter, like, you know, helping them out and everything. And I feel like he's just sort of become like pervasive in this space and everybody knows him. And I got to be honest, like, especially, you know, now our events and everything are on pretty solid footing. We got a pretty solid crowd showing up, but you know, in the early days, and I know a lot of other people feel exactly the same, man, when you do something or you're experimenting something and a handful of people show up and then you see Easy pop in, you got this feeling inside. You're like, thank God Easy's here, man, because at least I know there's someone solid in the audience who's going to, you know, throw me a bone and help us out, because it just really feels like his heart and soul is in this for real. So that's my long-winded introduction for this dude I've been, you know, talking with for a long time, but never had the opportunity to sit down and actually have a discussion with. So Easy, my dude, man, it's been long overdue. Welcome, man.
Thanks for having me. It's super fun to be on with you. And yeah, it's funny that, I mean, we talk in often like groups and projects, and I've had my hand in a fair share of stuff, which is really fun because the community is so great. But it's high time that we just sat down and had a chat. I'm definitely looking forward to this one, and just stoked to be on with you.
Hell yeah, dude. Let's walk it like way back, man, because you and I first met on Scent, or at least that's how I first came to know you and everything, like back in the old days of Scent. And you and I sort of like, you know, came up in some of this, like the OG Scent crew almost, that has sort of all gone different directions and sort of developed their own side projects and everything. Was that your foray into NFTs? That seems like the direction everything is sort of like, you know, been thrown in. Was that your foray into crypto? Like, well, you know, walk me back to sort of when we first, you know, banged heads together.
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely Scent back in the day. I mean, probably a year and a half ago now. I mean, I think it's been a little over that since I joined Scent. And I found Scent pretty randomly. Like, I had been interested in crypto for a while, but had never really dove in, just, you know, read about it and talked to people about it. And when I had gotten, it was not too long after I'd gotten the Trust Wallet. And then it was one of like the featured apps on their little list. And it was like, oh, that sounds interesting. I clicked maybe like two of them and I clicked onto Scent and tried it out. And like, I was like a little skeptical because I never got into Facebook. I never got into Twitter. I had some accounts, but just for like, you know, getting like into crypto contests for maybe winning something. And I was super interested in NFTs. When I found out about NFTs after I'd been looking into crypto, my head exploded like so many of us with all the possibilities. And it was just, you know, like, it felt like it was going to be really big. So I got on Scent and just kind of interacted with like a few people Matthew, again, with so many of us, pulled me in, you know, super friendly, super helpful, threw me a dollar so I could do my first bounty. That was right after bounties became like necessary to post for a little while. And I was just like, whoa, this is different. Like, such a nice, friendly intro. People like offering like, oh, well, here's a buck. You know, it might not seem like much, but that offer was something I had never seen before. And it was just out of pure like friendliness and like wanting to help me out. And it was so genuine that I was just like, okay, this is worth putting some time in. And then it was like Green Giant and Connie and Joel and just, you know, there's this old school crew. And it's interesting that you just mentioned many of us that started there have now sort of branched out and have these little projects that we help each other out with that are all like in these kind of budding growth phases. And it's just, it's really cool to have been part of that early group and see how all this is evolving.
Yeah, man, it absolutely has been fascinating to watch the speed at which things have unfolded over the course of the past year. So, and actually, I'm proud to say I'm the owner of your first pixel chain piece of art, I believe.
That is very true.
So, dude, when I think that was, yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say that was exciting in itself because it's crazy. Like that pixel art, that was when it wasn't, I think it was still like whitelisted. So you had to kind of apply and you get the code and it was like, okay, go in. That was literally my first time ever working with pixels. And so it was so fun and so fascinating. And I got so like hooked right into it. And so I made that first one and it took me a pretty long time to like figure out kind of how to work it. And I was super stoked with it. And I finished it like, you know, sometime way after midnight. And then I woke up to a message from you like, hey, bro, I really like that. I'd like to get it. And it was just like, ding, big old smile on my face. I was like, yes, because, you know, it's really rewarding when somebody likes your art enough to offer to purchase it. Like that's something also that the blockchain has given me. And I always dreamed of being able to show my photography in a gallery or sell some of my art and just thought it was out of reach. And really, the Scent community, again, being so positive and just like, you know, just enfolds you into this creative kind of like environment that's super positive and it's just a great place to grow. And I feel like between Scent and just the blockchain giving us freedoms to get our stuff out there is huge. And I hope to bring more people in so they can experience that too. But yeah, thanks for picking that one up, bro. I'm glad you have it.
Hell yeah, dude. Priceless piece of art right there. So easy. In my head, we're like sort of kindred spirits, right? Because I see you as like sort of like a jack of all trades, like a tinkerer. Like you got you got multiple podcasts going on at various times. You have obviously got your hands and like hands on creating art. I know you like are moving like literally, you know, throughout the United States and Costa Rica periodically. I know you got some side businesses as well. Like and this is one of the reasons why I was very fascinated to interview in the first place, because I feel like you got a lot going on and it's really all out of like love for the space. Like if someone were to sort of like say like, who is easier? Like, how do you quantify your skills or what do you best bring to this weird table that we're all sitting at? Like, you know, because I'm like, what is easy, man? I don't even know. He's pointing to the guest list. He's creating art. He's got a podcast. He's, you know, he's doing so many things. You know, he's showing up to all the events and being like a super fan of like all the things. Like, you know, what's like the long term easy angle, man? I know we talked about building a brand and Whale Shark gave you a grant to do something around that. And you're certainly building a name for yourself. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I feel like everybody knows you maybe more so than some of these like, you know, quote unquote, bigger celebrities that Jim was kicking my way. So like, yeah, man, how do you see yourself in this space?
Well, I will say that if I'm gonna do something, I like to jump like all in and do my research and like figure some of this stuff out for myself and talk to other people in the spaces. So, I mean, I guess part of it's hard to even quantify myself because I'm like scatterbrained. I'm in all these different kind of little projects. And then I do have like major goals for myself. I want to be able to make art, share it. I want to be able to bring other people in to make art and share it. And that's part of why the Collectors Hub was such a great fit for me. So that's one of the main projects, you know, I'm working on that I spoke about at the WIP, and we can dive a little into that maybe a little later. But it's, yeah, it's hard for me to quantify myself. I love writing. I've been doing photography since I was like 9 years old. I got my first film camera. My dad and mom were both into photography. Like, my dad used to set up a dark room in the bathroom when all the kids went to sleep. My grandpa too was into photography. And so I've got some art like in the family genes kind of. And it was just always my dream. So that's a large part of it, is just my love for art. And I love making it, and I love enjoying other people's, and I love collaborating. That's one of the most like rewarding things, is when you can kind of create something with other people, and not just like a physical art piece or an NFT. It could be a story co-written or an idea to bring people together, like the WIP, you know, being able to even just make a small suggestion there that helps out is super rewarding to me. So I guess part of it is my name, Ezra, means to help, or the helper. Literally. So I guess that was a fitting name that my folks gave me, because I do like to get in and kind of help with people. And I think I have pretty good people skills. And maybe that's why I'm doing, you know, my little podcast, which is, you know, pretty small. But I just had like Vesa on last week. He's a pretty big artist. So even if it gets 10 views, that's not like the important part to me, at least at this point, because I just had a great conversation. I mean, we spoke for like 3 hours. So I really like getting to know people and the deeper aspects of, you know, what their passions are, what drives them, what do they really want to share. So yeah, I like to just get with people, you know. So I guess that's a big part of it, is being all over in the space, is because I really thoroughly enjoy talking with people, and I'm truly just passionate about art, not just my own, but what everybody else is doing.
Easy. Pick a lane, goddamn it.
I can't, dude. It's horrible. Bro, I'm like, my Discord is a freaking mess. I like just will keep adding, and then like some group that I haven't been in hell long gets the boot, and then things get pushed down, and then I miss like launches. But you know, it's all good, because everybody's kind of crazy like that in the space. And yeah. So I feel like we're all kind of like literally trying to find our lane, or lanes in my case, I guess. But yeah, it's a crazy time. And actually, this whole like lockdown thing at the beginning, and all this coronavirus, I was really stressed, went through some like a little bit of rough time. I actually made a scent post, which really helped me with all the community support I got from that when I was feeling really depressed. But after that, I just kind of switched gears, and I just spent, you know, as much time as I could on positive projects out in my garden. I've got a huge garden going at my dad's place. I'm kind of just stuck up here in California, so I'm staying at the house I grew up in and doing a bunch of work in the garden and cleaning the garage and, you know, all sorts. So I'm just like being physical on site, and then hopping digital and going meta as much as I can. There's so many great events, and it's like, I feel bad because I miss stuff, and I'm like, I just can't be everywhere. So it is challenging to organize my time. That is one thing that I could use some help with.
I mean, I think you're selling yourself a little short, because you're everywhere that I am. So if you're in more places than that, you're doing a pretty good job, man. Because I try to pop into all the things too. But I also feel like, you know, there's, and you could probably co-sign on this too, like the difference between a year ago and now in terms of the amount of things going on right now. I felt like last year around this time, you could get caught up every morning in like, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes on like everything going on in the space. Now you need like, you know, the weekend basically.
You basically need 2 days in one now. But yeah, it's crazy. So the growth rate, if it's that fast, I can't imagine where we'll be next year, because it feels pretty exponential. Like, it is just crazy. Yeah. Because yeah, if you went back, you know, if we just take scent for an example, if you went back a little over a year, like a year and a half, there you could catch up. Like, there was like a dozen posts a day, like by, you know, well, more than that, but maybe a dozen that like your buddies dropped, and you could like go over it. Yeah, like you said, in the morning. Now there's, you know, Crypto Voxels events, Decentraland events. I haven't even gotten into Somnium to see it yet. Sandbox is starting up. There's, you know, scent. Twitter finally I'm starting to use, and like kind of get a handle on. And then so many great Discord groups. And now we have these killer like listening parties, like the one I'm hosting for Token Smart. And it's crazy. There's so much passion. And I think that's what's driving it now. And I think that's going to lead to more like kind of investors and people coming in that are interested, maybe not so much in creating this stuff, but participating. So it's a super exciting time. But I can't even imagine what it'll be like a year from now. I hope the gas can handle. Right. That's my biggest fear, bro.
I know, man. You know what, though? I feel like so much innovation is happening in this space that it will pivot, or people will find a way to pivot or something like that if need be. I can't imagine with all of the momentum that we collectively have, in the growing NFT space, that it will just, sort of slowly die out. I feel like it's past that point, and we just got to find more creative solutions if like the shit really hits the fan with the gas or something like that. It's, the cat's out of the bag. Too much has been built at this point to throw it away. So what's the dream, man? I know you're sort of a community guy, much like myself. You dabble in a little bit of everything. Is there something like that you would, if someone were to be like, here's a job, man, you could do this or this, and you would drop everything and do that? Maybe it's not even crypto related. I have no idea. But is there something that you're like trying to position yourself towards, or is the idea to sort of be like an everything guy, like sort of like a community guy that is, down getting their hands dirty, meeting the people and, being involved in all the things? Maybe it's not important to necessarily pick a lane, but I'm just curious, like, if there's some like bigger thing that you're like hoping to gain out of this or working towards, or like in a perfect world, if you could wave your magic wand and do this or that, or what would that be?
It's funny because like probably a little over a year ago or something, if you'd asked that, I probably still would have chosen like doing like photo and video production. Like if I could just get like, a killer salary to like travel around and do like time-lapse photography and maybe like write little snippets about what I'm doing or something. And I would still probably take that job. But now I've fallen in love so much with the communities that I'm in and like the way I can express myself. And like, even when like I've been in kind of a block, I haven't been able to like make much of my art lately. I've been actually writing and sketching, but I've just kind of like, I hit a little wall there with some of my photography enhancements and stuff. And I've been doing a lot of photography, but I kind of think I just need to find some new programs and stuff like that. But so yeah, it's definitely shifted like in the last year, my kind of dream job, I guess. And it's hard to narrow it down, but if I was able to basically like work from home most of the time so I could be with my wife and kids down in Costa and work through the, internet metaverse, being able to host events like I'm about to be starting up with Collectors Hub and make my art and have a gallery and have like a space to be able to show that and do tours and fun events, checking out other people's art and educating and onboarding. That is kind of my dream job, like being able to work in this space interactively with other artists and collectors and other hosts and stuff. So, and I always did like for years and years and years, I was like, oh man, it would be so cool to have like, and back then it was like a YouTube channel and even just like, whatever, do interviews and talk about stuff I was interested in. That was always sort of in the back of my mind, like something I wish I could do, but again, out of reach. I'm gonna, keep working at what I'm doing and just, if I get somebody to offer me my perfect dream job and get paid really well, I'll take it. But that's kind of what I'm working towards. And it's just a matter of eventually kind of monetizing some aspect so I can take care of my family and also keep doing what I love doing. So, and then I have other side stuff too. I do the CBD stuff because it turned my life around from 20 years of back pain. So another way where if I can help other people get out of pain with a, a medication that doesn't have any like negative side effects, I just felt like I had to do that. So I also, luckily the farmers markets are starting back up really soon, just over a week. So I'll be able to do the local one here and start, slanging my CBDs again. And incorporating that into some kind of meta thing is another idea, having a dispensary. And I've kind of been working with that idea with Kami-sami, or you may know him as Don Quixote, which was his scent name. So he's got the Kami Mart, which is a really dope spot. And, oh, and we're kind of playing. Yeah, we're playing with like a dispensary room idea. And yeah, so the CBDs are also a big part of my life because it really, really turned it around for me and helps me on a daily basis with my pain and stuff. So I can be more positive and more effective and whatever I'm doing.
Hell yeah, dude. Yo, I mean, if that's the dream job, I feel like, you know, if the space continues to expand at the rate that we just discussed, you know, how are you not scooped up into that role by this time next year or something like that? I mean, it seems like, you know, if the goal is to make yourself well-known and pervasive within the space, I can't even think of anybody who would be doing that more effectively than you are right now. So, and that's half the battle, right? People just know you and know that you are connected to people. And, you know, you're one of my go-to people, man. If I'm like, I don't know so-and-so, I bet Easy knows so-and-so, you know, that's who I think about. And that, you know, that goes a long way, man. So if that's the goal, I don't feel like we're too far out from that. But curious to know, man, like what's like a day, like what's a day in the life of Easy, man? Or is it like, is every day like sort of different? I know you got the CBD thing going on, the farmers markets. Is it just sort of like I imagine, and this is probably not true at all, but just because you're everywhere, it sort of seems like your life must be like, open up the phone, open up Twitter. Oh my God, I got to go to this thing. And then this thing ends, open up Twitter. Oh my God, I got to go to this thing. Like, I'm sure it's like more well organized than that, but sometimes that's what my life is like too. Ripping and running from one thing or another. And you're like, Oh shit, this is going on.
That's what it's like a lot of the time. I mean, usually I do, like, most days I'll get up and before I like check Twitter and Discord and stuff, I'll go out into the garden for a little while, just like barefoot, do some gardening, get kind of like a little grounded for the day and be outside in the sunshine. And then I'll come in and get on the computer and then it's, oh shit, there's this today. Oh man, I thought that was tomorrow. And then there's this. And so it is exactly how you imagined it is like every other day or something. But yeah, and then I've got the CBD stuff, which coming up soon will take up a little more time. So I'll be doing like little pop-up events and then the farmers markets, you know, maybe a couple times a week. And I just, it's pretty cool because I'm basically my own boss, so I can like kind of decide what things I want to do. And, you know, obviously working more is usually better, but it's nice to be flexible. And the amazing thing is that all this stuff just really grew organically. Like, I didn't really ever plan on any of this. I just sort of started talking to people, and through Scent, the community there really gave me, I would not have been like confident enough in myself, I don't think, to do all this stuff before I got on Scent. I just, you know, like the amount of encouragement I got there. And then just when I started sharing like some of my art and stuff, people were like, you know, genuinely liked it. And I was like, oh, well, if people like this, I can share it more. Now I have a gallery that is in Crypto Voxels. That big shout out to Whale Shark. He gave me just the use of his property as long as I did something with it. So built a little gallery, and it's amazing how it's just sort of organically come together. So I feel really good about it. And also the Collectors Hub, and thank you, because actually you wound up dropping my name to Yoni, and then he called and we totally hit it off. And the idea was just so solid and resonated so true with me, and something that the community needs, that I feel like if that goes well, that basically could be my dream job. I mean, working with collectors and artists and hosting shows and like Crypto Voxels and putting them out on Twitch to get new people interested. I mean, that's pretty much what I want to be doing. So it feels like things are falling into place, and I'm hoping we can just keep the momentum, you know, going. And the way this community is growing, I think it's not going to be a problem. I think we're going to be able to help connect more people, get more people into it. And, you know, all of us, myself especially included, could use more knowledge and education on it. Like, I'm always looking for ways where I can learn more. And I think there's a lot of us out there that are kind of hungry for that knowledge.
Yeah, man, I feel the same way, and people have said that to me as well, that the space in general is just sort of thirsty for content right now. And yeah, especially from the collector's side of things. as well. So how much of your day, like, you know, just in terms of breakdown, like, you know, when things get rolling with CBD, is that basically like your full-time job, you know, hustling at the fairs or farmers markets and whatever comes up? Or is it sort of like, you know, 50-50 working the crypto NFT angle to try and continue to work your way into the fold? Or what's
it,
like
it actually doesn't take up like too much time. Farmers markets like a half day. Okay. Pop-ups are generally, you know, same. Either they take place in the morning and wind up early afternoon, or they start a little later and wind up early evening. It just sort of depends on the venue and the time of year and stuff. Summertime usually get started early and then wind up by like, you know, 2-3 o'clock or something. So, and that's generally just a couple days a week, depending, you know, certain times of year, like right around the 4th of July, at least it used to be like more events going on. Or as we get closer to like, you know, the Christmas season, there'll be a string of events all close together. But in general, a lot of my orders are just my clients will just give me a call, shoot me an email, shoot me a text. And then I pack up a little CBD package and drop it off and send it out. So it's not, it's luckily it doesn't take like a huge amount of time to do that. And so it, you know, it, in the previous years, it took a lot more hustling, but now I've built up like a client base that are repeat, you know, repetitive customers. I mean, if something's going to be able to basically change your life and give you freedom and less pain and mobility, and it really works, people come back and back and back. So I've kind of slowly over about 3.5 years built up a pretty good client base to where, like, if I can have a successful, you know, farmer's market summer year, then I'll be doing, you know, decent this year. It's still not really like a, you know, take care of all
the needs. You're a hustler, man.
But yeah, it's starting to get like to a better place. So I think with that, and then if I can start monetizing a little bit of my crypto efforts, I think I'm gonna be all right. Yeah.
Good for you, man. It's tough to build a business like that from the ground up and, you know, develop loyal customers and everything. And I'm sure a product you believe in helps, but you still gotta hustle to
make it
work. When I know you said you go back and forth to Costa Rica, and I'm not trying to like pry too much into your personal life, but just curious, like how similar or not similar your life is when you go down there, or is it only for like brief stints that you go down there, or what's your situation?
Well, this year's a little crazy because I came up like, and I was planning on coming up for like maybe 6 weeks or something and kind of getting some stuff set up for this busier summer season, and then popping home for like a month or something, and then coming up and being here for like 3 or 4 months, which is a long time to be away. And I generally try and limit it to no more than that, because I just miss my wife and kids and stuff, and they're growing, and you know, I prefer to be there, but you got to do what you got to do to make a living. So usually it would be like kind of like a couple months up here and then a couple months back home, or in Costa Rica. But with everything that's going on, I've been stuck up here for, you know, like more than three months already, but I wasn't really able to work. And just with all the craziness going on, people were not really like, you know, thinking about their CBDs. Maybe now people are starting to be like, oh man, I've been out for a little while, I need some. But so it just like fell off a cliff, and I was like, oh, it's been a little bit stressful. I won't lie. It's been a little rough during the last few months, but with things opening up back up, I'm feeling like, okay, this is, you know, get the ball rolling here again. But yeah, so usually I would try and pop back and forth. Like if I have to be up here for a few months, then I would like to be back home for at least a month. This year is definitely going to be a little bit different. I'll be up here a lot more just because I wasn't able to make much in the last month. So I have to kind of try and double my efforts this summer to recoup some of that. But and I used to have a landscaping business down there. So for the first like maybe 8 or 9 years I was down there, I had like a landscaping business, you know, had, you know, 5-6 dudes working with me installing
tropical gardens. I saw you posted on Discord that you were trying to fix your car the other day too. I'm like, what does Easy not do?
Dude, that was, I just actually yesterday I did the front brakes, which are way easier, but that was the first time I had ever done drum brakes. And it like, it was it was a little bit intimidating. Luckily, I mean, I had a buddy who knows what he's doing. And so he just kind of walked me through it, but I still had to basically do it myself, which is better anyways, because then you learn. But yeah, I was like super proud of myself. I tweeted that out. I'm all, just did my first drum breaks. And I was going to try and take pictures and actually make a scent post out of it. But your hands are covered in like asbestos and grease and like, no way, I wasn't touching my phone. So I do, like I said, I do love to be hands-on and I like to learn new skills. So that was like, I was super stoked. Now, anytime, if I need to, I don't need any help. I mean, my back is wrecked afterwards, but at least I could do my own breaks. So yeah, it was really cool. I got to do some like fairly big like hotels and stuff like that. And it down there, it's amazing because in California, where I grew up landscaping, it takes years for the stuff to fill in. Like when you design and install a garden, it's years before it looks like what you kind of imagined it in your head. Down there, stuff grows so fast that like 6 months later, you've got like 10 foot tall banana trees, you know? So it was really rewarding. I would equate it to like film versus digital photography, how digital you get that instant, like, you know, instant feedback. Well, film you have to develop or send it off to get developed and then it comes back. So it was kind of like I equated it to that with my experience with like starting off in film photography and being kind of a digital like or a film snob. I was like, oh, digital, that's like lame. And I was like, you got to be old school and like shoot on film, which now I love both, you know, and I wish I could do more film photography. Just developing is hard to come by and got really expensive. But yeah, so back to me in Costa Rica. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, when I went down there to kind of try and heal my back because I was working in the film industry and living in New York City, and it was just killing my body. Like it was way too much. So I went to Costa Rica for like a break just to like get in the water and heal up my back. And I fell in love with it. It was amazing. And then like this guy that I landscaped for when I was like 14 happened to be living in this little town that I was visiting. And he wrote me onto this project as a landscape architect for this like big development. And that led to one thing to another. And then wow. I met my amazing, beautiful wife down there. She's Costa Rican. And then
Wow, man.
15 years later, we have beautiful kids and, decided to stay there, which I've got no regrets over raising the kids there. It's an amazing, amazing place and pretty community focused and stuff. So when I'm down there, I do, you know, I've got internet. It's a bit slow, but I can do all my, you know, pretty much do all my internet stuff. And then when I'm there, I just spend a lot of time with my family, with the wife and kids. We spend a lot of time in the yard, in the garden, going for hikes whenever we can, getting to the beach, because I don't have to work as much there. Like, you know, I usually set up, like my brother helps me and a friend's help me with delivering to local clients or packing up a CBD, you know, shipment and dropping it in the mail. So I luckily have good support like that. So when I'm down there, I know that like people are going to help me out and I'm going to be able to keep the CBD kind of rolling, even though I'm a little hands off when I'm down there.
Yeah, right on, man. So obviously you got California, New York, Costa Rica. Is there anywhere else that you've like lived for a significant amount of time?
Hawaii, I guess.
Yeah.
When I was like really young, like 14 or something, a friend's dad took me and him over and spent like, it was the whole summer, like a couple months. His dad had gotten a van and we just camped all around the Big Island for months.
Wow.
Just fishing, you know, swimming, hunting fish, and it was amazing. So I came back and wound up like finishing high school early with a GED and just took off to Hawaii and worked on a coffee farm there for like maybe four or five months or something, and then got this opportunity to go to Kauai and live right on Hanalei Bay on this big organic farm where they do like the farmers markets. And my job was to take care of the tropical flower fields, like massive tropical flower fields. So I jumped on that. And I lived there for like maybe like 8 or 9 months. And then I knew I would just be like a total beach bum forever if I didn't bail. So I decided, okay, I'm going to school for like landscape architecture. I came back to the States or back to the mainland and then started that. And then, you know, about a year and a half into that, I was in a major car accident. And that was when I got my back injury. And my teachers were really awesome because I was like doing really well, like Dean's List. And so they let me basically finish a lot of that work from home. And yeah, so it's been a crazy ride, bro, for sure.
Dude, I just have to compliment myself and say that I was exactly right. This is fascinating. And I knew you were an interesting dude, man, who like, you know, has done some interesting shit, lived an interesting life, man. All this stuff is fascinating to me. Oh, you just unloaded so many things that I had a question and forgot where I was going with it, man. I remember what I was going to say now. So you would say like your area of expertise, technically at least, is landscape architecture. What you're trying to pivot and, you know, make a full-time gig out of your passion, essentially, is what it sounds like you're throwing your weight behind. But that, technically, if someone was like, I'm trying to hire Easy for what he's like most qualified for on paper, it seems like landscape architecture is really your, you know, what you know through and through. Is that fair to say?
That's probably fair to say. Although I haven't done really, except for just like a few casual projects, I haven't done any big landscape design jobs for years. So I'm super rusty. Like I jumped into the CBD like full on because, so right after like 2008, so I had been down in Costa Rica, had a pretty good landscaping business. Like 2008 crash hit, and it didn't affect me for a couple years because I had a bunch of projects in the pipe. Like the money was there basically already. And then it just evaporated like completely. And I was like, you know, you can't really raise a family on like landscape maintenance when, you know, everybody's cutting back half and then half again and half again, and there's no design jobs or installation. That's kind of the bread and butter. So I had to like figure something else out. And so I started coming up to California then for work. And I was, you know, doing all sorts of different, whatever I could, you know. And then I found the CBDs and they were so amazing for me that I was just like, okay, I'm going to focus on this because it's something real that I, you know, can get behind and help other people with. So started that and just put my focus into that for a couple of years. Like really, like I was making the stuff, labeling it, you know, bottling it, like doing everything, with a friend of mine, and his wife is the one that he was just like started out cooking it on the stove and gave me some. And I was like, this is so amazing. I'm willing to like spend my time working, getting this product developed and out to people. And then shortly after that, I started getting into crypto too. So it's trippy, I would say. And when I worked, you know, so one of my other major passions all my life has been photography. I've been doing landscaping since I was like 11. I've been doing photography since I was like 9. So I kind of have used both of those, the themes of design, whether you're using, you know, light, negative space, textures, colors, those are both through and through landscape design. They're through and through photography or film. One of my big passions along with photography is doing film and time lapse. So I had asked a question at the WIP the other day about when we can do like gigabyte plus files on NFTs, because I have like 20 years of like video time lapse that I just used to set up everywhere, you know. Cool. So that's something I love to do. And when I worked in independent film in New York, you know, I was started as a camera assistant and then a camera operator and then director of photography. I shot, you know, not any like big movies, but I shot like some like NYU, you know, films. Yeah, kind of. But so I got to travel to like, I got to go to Australia for work, Mexico for work, Canada, all over the US. So I love to travel too. That's part of what I would like to be able to do in future is more travel. But yeah, so I would say I've sort of taken a lot of the base skills or just like what I identify with from photography and then from landscaping. And I love nature too, just like, you know, trees, flowers, you can tell if you've ever looked at my work. So I've kind of blended those, and then it fits perfectly into this metaverse. Like one of the things that I'm doing is building voxel plant models. So I'm still slow. So I'm like slowly building some up. I'll do like a flowering cherry tree and a cactus and a, you know, tomato in a pot, whatever, like these different things. And I plan to build up a catalog and then do voxel scaping. So green spaces, yeah. You know, and crypto voxels, people, you know, you have.
Dude, I was just about to suggest it if you hadn't thought of it first. So I'm glad you're right on top.
Yeah,
you're not like a Central Park in crypto voxels, landscaped by Easy. Yes, man.
It's in the works. Actually, Hive, the Hive Muse Collective, like I dropped an idea exactly that for a central park in Crypto Voxels, where we'd have like Japanese garden, pond, open space, yes, a little forest ringed by like all sorts of little cafe shop, mini galleries and like meeting places. And so I kind of dropped that in, I guess, the Crypto Voxels Discord, and they picked up on it and they're like, we have the resources to actually like do something like this, because the property get the use of property gets donated, and like actually Yoni actually donated some. So there's a group of people now, because there's no way I would have been able to like handle that anyways. I was like, oh perfect, we need like a crew to be able to pull this off. Right. So there's a bunch of people with similar interests, and that's, you know, cool. it will happen. And then being able to just green it up, because a lot of boxy angles there, and we can add, you know, I mean, I've seen, you know, koi ponds and beautiful trees, and just it's doable. So it's just getting people together and making a big green space and then a bunch of little ones. So yeah, that's something good. I really look forward to doing. And it's just, I know it's going to take a little while before I have like all the plants and stuff kind of built up to where I can offer that service, but that may be a way where I can monetize a little. Actually getting paid to like do a virtual garden would be really cool. And then we even talked about like, if we made a dope enough virtual garden, because people have taken, you can take like a real world garden and photograph it and kind of like replicate it into a virtual world. But what if we made such a dope virtual garden that we got funding to make that like in a city that needed a park, you know, flip the script, you know, it would be super cool. So there's a lot of ideas there stewing in my brain.
Dude, I love it. I love it, man. Dude, I think these are all like such cool ideas, and I'm glad you're like two steps beyond where I am with it, because as soon as you started talking about it, I'm like, oh my God, how is like landscape architecture within Crypto Voxels, you know, current concrete jungle, you know, not a thing yet. So hell yeah, man, that should absolutely, it just seems like the natural, like, you know, evolution of that space and everything anyway. Dude, I don't want to keep you all afternoon, although I'm absolutely enjoying this conversation, but I wanted to make sure we have time to hit, because I'm also genuinely interested in like where you're at with the project that you have going on with Yoni and the Collectors Hub.
So we're definitely making progress. There is, you know, I'm not as involved with like the website. I'm not a coder or anything. You know, I'm a great ideas man. But so the website, Renee and his crew that did like Chainbreakers, they're working really hard and actually really fast. They're making a lot of progress for the website. So there'll be some kind of version of that, probably like a sign up to get people in at first, kind of beta, and then it'll be opened up. They are trucking along, so I don't want to give a date yet to when that might be opening, but you know, not many months out. Like it's coming along pretty smooth. And then for the show, which the part that I'm a little more involved in is going to be talking with collectors and curators and doing this kind of trifecta show, where it will be a live stream on Twitch, so you have anybody can interact really easy that way and be part of it and you know, take part in the little chat when it's live. But we'll also be in Crypto Voxels, and so that when the kind of quote unquote interview segment ends, which will probably be more of a casual conversation type interview, there'll be different possibilities. So field trips to other galleries to get maybe like little curated tours. And then also just question and answer. I think it would be cool to even like form up little groups and do, you know, come up with a certain project idea or work together with somebody's ideas. And so, you know, kind of pool the resources and knowledge while we're there with somebody that actually knows a lot about collecting, evaluating, valuing, just navigating this area and market, because it's kind of a mess right now. So, you know, a large part of that is offering a clean space through Collectors Hub, where, you know, you can organize how you want all your art NFTs from different platforms. You know, OpenSea is an amazing resource, but it's hard to navigate through, and everything's sort of separate.
Back up a second, man. Can you explain the website and what, how it works and what people can expect from it?
There will be a couple different parts of it, and I should have had some notes ready, because we're making so many changes and sort of adapting it. But so there'll be basically Gallerist, which is like a gallery. There's going to be so I'll just kind of back up. So the website will have an area where, you know, you can bring your all your NFT art from multiple platforms. So instead of having to search like Maker's Place separately on OpenSea like we do right now, and then like Rarible or whatever, like having all that in one place. So you have all your art NFTs, if you're a collector, you have all your art NFTs in one place, and then you can actually like basically drag and drop them into an order you want. You can make a little, so you'd have your main collection, and then you could make smaller collections, little sets of things that go together, and then basically have a way that we can easily navigate. And then that will connect, you know, buyers and sellers, so that you can then sell your stuff if you're looking to sell part of your collection. There will be, you know, kind of more community like events, auctions like that, because there's an auction house kind of part of it. It's coming together nicely. It looks pretty sweet. And
big ass project, man. This isn't just like you signed up for a podcast or something.
No,
ass project.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of ambition, and I don't even like, I'm being very vague and just giving kind of the base idea, because we haven't like talked about all of these things in public yet, all the features that we're gonna be incorporating. But it should be a really useful, effective tool for, you know, collectors, investors, because eventually we're gonna have people coming into the space that aren't just passionate about art. They want to invest in art, and NFT art is going to be, you know, part of the investments in the future, in my mind. So, you know, bringing in people that aren't educating people and onboarding, and bringing in people with tools that are a little easier to use, so that you don't get frustrated and walk away and be like, this space isn't ready yet, or, you know, whatever. Right. There's a lot of aspects to it, and it's coming along nicely, honestly. And as soon as, you know, I'm going to be having the show start up pretty soon, because we're going to start those before, you know, the website. It's definitely the same, you know, the same project, but it's another aspect. It's like a whole nother wing doing these events, projects, shows. You know, the outreach and the education is going to be, you know, part of kind of a main part of my gig, which is really cool. I'm super stoked.
Hell yeah, man. It sounds like an awesome initiative, and well needed, man. I mean, you've probably heard me rant multiple times about like the lack of a fleshed out secondary market. The secondary market is just it's like the Wild West right now. So bringing like a measure of consistency and you know, openness to that whole end of things is very, very much needed. Just for clarification, I know you're talking about art. Is the focal point of this always going to hinge on art, or is the idea to like start with art and like branch into other NFTs within the space, or is this like solely an art focused thing?
Solely art focused, because cool. That's another thing is like, you know, there, it's amazing. There's great other NFT uses for games. And, you know, I've got my hand in another little literature project idea. But yeah, this is solely focused on art. So it can be a representation for that and stay clean. And, you know, yes. So the answer is yes. It's a solely art NFT focused platform.
Hell yeah, dude.
You
picked a lane, man.
Boom. Thank you.
Yo, dude, it's been super awesome to chat with you, man. Before we wrap it up, do you need to plan like a landscaping business or a photography business or like an art hub or like a CBD company, farmers market, or any cities or countries that we didn't hit?
I think we covered a good little bit. I mean, obviously, I think we could talk for hours and hours, and we should just do another show a little ways down the line and catch up and talk about more stuff. But yeah, I think that was a good little quick run through, at least.
Yeah, right on, man. Yeah, man, you got more projects coming up. So, and you got your own show. So all this presents ourselves with great opportunities to continue this conversation. Moving forward.
I will have you on my show. Maybe we can pick up there, give the people a little break, but yeah, a couple of weeks down the line or something, I'd love to have you on a window and get a little look into you. But yeah, thanks so much, dude. It was super, super fun doing this.
Hell yeah, man. Until next time.
All right. Peace.
Peace.